Strings with Mike Damon.
Hi, welcome again to No Strings. I am Mike Damon. Just in case if you're joining me for the first time and you're wondering what this is about, well, you're on to No Strings, and No Strings is Nigeria's first LGBT podcast. I want to say welcome again to No Strings. For this week, we're going to talk to someone who happens to be Olumide Makunjuola. He is currently the executive director of TS Nigeria, which, when pronounced in full, is the Initiative for Equal Rights. Well, before we finally start talking with him, I'm going to take a quick time out and then finally come back, and then we continue with the discourse for this week. Please don't go anywhere. Just stick around. I'm going to be right back just right after this.
Truth be told, with no strings attached, listen to the actual voices of members of the Nigerian LGBT community only on No Strings with Mike Damon. Visit www.nostringspodcast.wordpress.com. You're listening to No Strings.
Hi, welcome back to No Strings, Nigeria's first LGBT podcast, and I am Mike Damon. Now, before we went on the recess, I said that we were going to talk to Olumide Makunjuola, who is the executive director of TS Nigeria. Of course, let's do the welcome thing for Olumide. Olumide, you're welcome to No Strings. You're really, really welcome to No Strings. It's my pleasure and honor to have you. You know, I was thrilled when BCLME mentioned you on the forum, yeah. And then your picture came up and I was like, ah, I really need to get in touch. I'm so grateful you agreed to do this with me. And especially more thanks goes for the fact that you took in all my troubles. How are you doing? It's so nice to have you. Olumide, welcome. Also, I'm sure my listeners would like to meet you now. Please take out the time to tell us a little about you.
Thank you for having me, Mike. My name is Olumide Makunjuola, and I work with the Initiative for Equal Rights. I have been working with it for almost 8 years, as it's from different positions. I used to be a capacity building officer, then I moved to a director of program, and then now the executive director. I worked as the ED for over 2 years now.
Wow, now that's a mouthful. Your organization, what do you people actually do?
Well, TEA, you know, basically has been in existence for almost 10 years. We're going to be 10 years this year officially. Mm. It was founded in 2005, you know, by a group of friends. And, you know, at the time that we founded the organization, it was to respond to the discrimination and stigmatization in HIV prevention service for MSMs at that point.
Okay.
But, you know, it has grown to become one of the many organizations in Nigeria that now comprehensively provide service for LGBT people, and then, you know, provide from legal aid to HIV prevention service, to psychosocial support, capacity building, you know, paralegal service,
okay,
to mention a few. So that's one of the things, those are the things that we've been doing in the last couple of years, you know, and most time, you know, our engagement is guided by different kind of priority, you know, area that we identify, you know, based on the need of the community.
Okay, nice. That's a whole lot already. So what new things should people be expecting from your organization, and what are its expected impact and targets? Please tell us.
Well, in terms of what new thing people should expect from TEA, I mean, we come up with different things every now and then, but, you know, one of the latest things that I think we're currently working on now is on the 17th of May, we will be launching, you know, a website called www.whatloveisacrime.org.
Wow.
It's a resource website. It's a micro website that has everything and everything you need to know about, you know, LGBT from the different kind of laws, you know, in Nigeria, beyond the same sex, you know,
really,
marriage prohibition law, the different kind of laws that also kind of criminalize same sex relationship, you know, the different issues, you know, people sharing their opinion, people telling their stories, analysis of the law, comics,
really going to be,
you know, interesting. It's a full package on the website. You know, we personally feel excited to be launching this website. It's been one of the things that we've been in the pilot in the last 6 to 7 months. Also, come 17, we'll be launching a toll-free line that, you know, people can call from any part of Nigeria for free. The line is going to be available
Interesting.
From, you know, for 24 hours, but the toll-free line will only be available for a certain period of time during the day.
Okay.
Why the non-toll-free line will be available for 24 hours. But the good thing with also the non-toll-free line is that people can also still call, and then they'll have, you know, people respond to them. And where they don't have enough credit to call, they can actually, you know, flash or beep us, whichever one they find convenient in terms of the language.
Nice.
Flash or beep us, and then we'll return back their call. Or they can also send a text message to us and we'll reply. All those numbers are also, is going to be also be available on WhatsApp. We have a BlackBerry Messenger that people can also add us on BlackBerry, where they can also engage with us to find out, what we do, you know, what kind of service they probably would need. Different kind of question that they might require, you know, about the organization. So those are the two things we're launching on the 17th. But apart from that, you know, as an organization, we always try to be innovative, you know, innovative in everything that we do. We try as much as possible to make sure that we are consistent in the things that we do.
Wow, you people seem to have a whole lot of interesting things going on. Really interesting. I personally can't wait for it. Now let's move our attention a little bit to you. So tell me, what is your role in the fight for LGBT rights in Nigeria, saying that your organization seems to have a lot to do with LGBT activities already?
Well, my role is not actually very individualized. I think I work in a kind of setting. I work with an organization. But I, for me personally, I can say that, you know, it's my drive has probably been one of the things that actually led me to end up in a career, in this career. Because I mean, coming from somebody who already know what it means to be discriminated, and somebody who understood, you know, already what it means to be gay in this country, I don't think there was anything particularly new, you know, for me anymore. And I felt that there was some kind of responsibility already, you know, on me, you know, as a person who could probably serve as a voice for the people that couldn't or didn't have their own voice already. So my involvement has always been push out the initiative, work with the team, let's get to see how we can support, let's get to see what we can do that can make life easier for people to be who they are within this country, to be who they want to be within this country. You know, as long as who they are and who they want to be, there's nothing in any way violate other people's rights, or does in any way, you know, create problem for the people in terms of under the principle of human rights. That's the most important thing for, you know, for me, and I think that's one of the things that we've done collectively at Initiative for Equality.
Okay. Wow, so much energy coming from you there, Olumide. Yeah, of course, good things are happening. We should really be hopeful. Now, so, Olumide, what impact has your personal efforts generated, and how can you measure it? Please tell us.
I'm not sure there's a way I can personally measure my personal, you know, efforts.
Okay.
But I can say that the effort of, I mean, my efforts as an individual has kind of also contributed into what he has become today. And, you know, what he has become today is a collective effort. So different people have been part of TIA. Many people have been at TIA. Some have left. Some are still there.
Okay.
It's a collective effort. And, you know, individual efforts sometimes is not something you can always measure all the time. But one of the things I can certainly say is that my consistency in the movement and, you know, my clamor for what I believe in, which is one of the few new ones, which is, you know, building a structure, you know, a structure that can respond to the need of the community, of the whole movement. It's one of the things I personally have, you know, invested in the last couple of years. And I think that, you know, that has been one of my major efforts within the within the movement. And we can see this, you know, how this has transpired into the collective effort you see at here and what it has become to as an organization.
Okay, brilliant. Your involvement with the LGBT community in Nigeria, how has it affected you personally? Ian, do you have any regrets so far? Please tell us.
I don't have any regret being part of the movement. I don't think I've ever had any regret. I've never even had any regret. I mean, I think it's even good that you mention even regret now, because you know, funny thing, I've never even thought of regret because it's as, I mean, I've enjoyed to do what I have done, you know. I've always enjoyed to do what I do, and you know, for the things I've done in the past, I've actually enjoyed doing them. I've enjoyed all that I have done in the past, and I think I still enjoy doing more, and I look forward into, you know, into doing more. And that's why it has affected me personally. To be honest, it's no sense of arrogancy, but I really can't pinpoint to how it has, because I've always been a people's person, and, you know, one of the things I've done is to separate my life away from the things I do, you know, my profession is my profession, and me as a person is, you know, my personality is has always been different from, you know, what I do at here. People who have been my friend for many decades understood my personality, and they don't try to misconstrue that for, you know, my position at here. So it has never been any, it has never had any backlash. I mean, I'm seen at some public events, I engage publicly on different issues, LGBT, you know, all general issue. So I've never really had any personal, you know, regrets having been involved in the movement. Of course, there are one of few things that you always think sometimes, you know, one of few things here and there where people you insult you on social media, insult you or comment on, you know, if you have, if it is on the blog, Or you make the news and the people read your news and they can probably, you know, insult you through comments on the website and things like that. But these are regular things that happen to everyday people, so it's not particularly to, you know, people working in the LGBT movement. We see people insult people on Twitter every day. We see people insult people on, you know, Elina Kitty's blog every day, on Bella Nanja's blog every day, so it's not a big deal. So I can't take that as something that is extremely personal. That doesn't mean to say that it is actually right for people to do so, but just to say that, you know, it's not peculiar to me or to the work that I do. It's just peculiar to people, and, you know, people just reacting to what they probably don't know or what they don't understand.
Really true. Now, it is no news that Nigeria is one of the most homophobic African countries, especially since the signing of the anti-LGBT bill into law. So what else do you think is generating the harsh homophobic condition in Nigeria? Please tell us.
I think different things kind of generate the harsh homophobic law in Nigeria. You know, we can say, first of all, lack of understanding, lack of knowledge of the issue. And then most especially the religious sentimental, you know, of religious leaders towards the issue of, you know, LGBT. And I think that also, if you, you know, the lack of understanding in the regards of thinking LGBT is not part of the broader human rights, you know, issue. Also, one of the things is existing laws that has always been devil before the same-sex marriage also has a way that it has translated into the new condition that, you know, we begin to see in, within the LGBT, I mean, towards LGBT people in Nigeria. Many things can, we can say to this. Like I said before, religious, culture, you know, lack of understanding from religious leader, lack of understanding from political leader, and then, you know, lack of proper understanding of what human rights is also. Because you will expect that when people understand the issue of human rights comprehensively, they wouldn't understand what it means, you know, why it is important to protect and promote LGBT rights. But unfortunately, even generally, beyond LGBT rights, our understanding on the issue of human rights is still really kind of, you know, poor. You know, from issue of gender to sexuality, it's the core. So when you put all of this together, you can understand how and why we've resorted to become, you know, one of the homophobic country in the continent. It's not like we're different from that other country. You know, every other part of the world has grown from where they used to be to where they are now. It has been the fact that they've been able to separate and then adjust, you know, from their religious belief to their cultural belief, and then not kind of letting that infringe on the broader human rights, you know, discourse. I mean, but unfortunately for us in Nigeria, there is no how we can talk about human broader discourse. Even people who do human rights work in Nigeria, we still have to, you know, there's still kind of one way or the other tied to their religious sentiment and their cultural belief. So that can always explain to you how we got to where we are today, as a country, you know, and as a nation within the continent.
Very true, Olumide. Very true. Now, what do you think can be done at least to reduce, if not completely eradicate, the hate for the LGBT community in Nigeria? Please, tell us.
I don't think that you will ever 100% eradicate it in Nigeria towards LGBT people. Even globally, LGBT is still a global discourse. Countries like the US, like the UK, that are quite progressive, still have issue of AIDS. So issue of AIDS is not restricted to only Nigeria. However, we can minimize AIDS, you know, through education, public awareness, public engagement, let people understand what it means. You know, always and always highlight the impact of AIDS on people and how this can even brother generates into something that will go beyond the society, you know, beyond the community itself. I mean, lots of people always think that, you know, when you hate on LGBT people, you're only hating on LGBT people. But the reality is the fact that a hate that starts from one person can actually generate to beyond that particular community into a broader issue. So it's for us to start understanding first as human that every human has their whole right to be who they want to be.
Mm.
If we understand, and that is not only related to LGBT rights, but you know, as human, first of all, Nigerians must understand that every Nigerians have the right to be who they want to be.
Mm.
As long as who they want to be does not violate the rights of other people.
Yeah.
So once we understand that, then it's easier to educate it towards LGBT people.
Mm.
Because you can still see the discussion on the issue of women's rights, you know, the issue of, you know, what women are, what, I mean, how women are perceived within the society.
Mm,
and what I like to understand is that we are connected to human rights generally.
Yeah. Mm.
People must respect human. We have to have respect for human. We need to understand human
being.
We have to appreciate human. We have to understand that this is who people are and respect who they are.
Yes.
Once we can be able to move past that bridge, then people will learn to love. Now, get it straight. People will not 100% support the issue of homosexuality. They will not support the issue of LGBT rights. But people might be able to understand that, even despite the fact that they're not supporting, they will be able to differentiate between the support and the issue of violence.
Yes.
Someone might not support the issue of homosexuality, but they certainly will not stand for violence.
Yes.
That is the kind of, you know, environment that we need. If people don't understand something, I mean, it's fine not to understand. It's fine to also want to require more to understand. But it's also fine for you to say, this is my stand on the issue. But why do you have that stand to say, I don't agree with homosexuality, but also don't agree that it should be, you know, stigmatized or discriminated or go through some kind of, you know, mob attack or violation or discrimination. So that's the kind of environment that we need to get into.
Yeah.
You know, that can probably lead us to where,
so true,
where we'll get to.
Yeah, so true. Now, what specific things should the LGBT community in Nigeria do or should be doing to change the negative views about them? Please, can tell us.
I don't think that there's anything in particular that LGBT people can do to change the negative view about themselves. I think that they just have to be who they are. And I mean, it's who they are.
True.
You can't ask somebody to say, change from who you're going to be just because you want to please another person.
Not
you
possible.
Have to continue to be who you are. Because who you are is who you are, and there is nothing you can do about it.
Mm.
But the most important that the community can do is that, you know, we need to continue to hammer on the issue and the impact of stigma, especially internalized homophobia. It's really, really, really dangerous. You know, we need to continue to highlight at our whole community level and even at the, you know, external, you know, speaking to other people that we know, letting them understand the impact of homophobia, the impact of violence against LGBT people. Once we begin to do that, people will understand how dangerous this is to the society beyond LGBT people. Because the most of the time, people always think that, you know, LGBT people are just trying to make noise. No, it's not about us making noise.
Yes.
It's just about us trying to say that this is not just right society to live in. You know, you can't live in a society that continue to, you know, legislate on hate towards you. It's unnice, it's unhuman.
Yes.
You know, and until when LGBT people stand up, they have to stand up. We don't need to be only activists. Activists will play their role.
Yes.
But we can only make the role of activists become more
easier,
you know, more visible when even the community itself stand up on their own toes. They have to get up to speak for themselves. Everybody must have a sense, a certain degree of activism in them. It is not, activism is not a career. You have to, I mean, you just have to realize what it means
to
be discriminated against, for you to stand up to say, no, it's enough. So even the community itself has a role to play to make the work of the activists easy. Because where you work or where you continue to speak on the issue of LGBT, LGBT people themselves must also get up to speak.
Yeah,
they must be visible. They must speak out. Now, I do understand that it's totally dangerous. It's not safe enough to speak. But we're beginning to see a lot of people coming out to speak. People are doing different things. You know, people are supporting, you know, what other people are doing.
Yes.
E.g., what you're doing. What you're doing means a lot to the brother work that we do. To the brother work that TED does, you know, other organizations like HiCA, Way, Increase, Queer Alliance. All of the things that you do, your whole platform, means a lot to the work that we do. It has a way that you contribute to the work that we do. So this is how LGBT people themselves can get up and then do more. We cannot continue to think that the work stops at the table of the activists.
No,
it stops at everybody's table, whether as an activist or as a member of the LGBT community. So that's one of the things that we can continue to do to ensure that, you know, we are viewed in a different light. People see that we are not just, you know, anima. People see that we are human. We're not about sex, but we are human, and we are about being human. And that's one of the things that's the most important, you know, that we need to pass out to Nigerians.
That was really powerful, Illuminate. So true, so true. A whole lot of people do not want to talk LGBT talks, even LGBT people themselves. Well, it's sad, but I'm so happy that people are actually talking. Yeah, people like us and people, other people too as well. Now, so people view homosexuality as just a concept. What is your realistic take on that, please?
Well, like I said, people would view homosexuality in different angle, and their, you know, their understanding or how they view this issue can be related to their level of understanding, level of knowledge, their religious belief, the cultural belief, which guides generally how people think. Sometimes some people have a conflict between their ideology and then their own kind of environment, their cultural environments where they've grown up. You know, we hear different things about, you know, what our culture says about homosexuality, what the Bible says about homosexuality, you know, what is a Western import. But there is no Western import anywhere. I think, you know, people just need to understand that homosexuality, it's human. There is nothing that you can do about it. You have to understand what it means exactly to be, just the way, you know, people understood what it means to be heterosexual.
Yes.
The same way people have to understand what it means to be gay. It is human. It has nothing to do with, you know, concept. It's not a concept. It's not an idea. It's not a strategy. It's not something you go to the market to buy. It is a part of humanity. It's people, you know. It's just the way people are. There is no concept behind it. There is no design. Homosexuality was not designed. You know, if it was designed, I'm sure that nobody would pick hate over love. If homosexuality was a concept, who would want to buy a concept of hate in a society like Nigeria? Why would you want to take a concept of love to go for a concept of hate when you know that if I'm gay, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going
hate
to go through so much hate, so much discrimination, so much destigmatization. Why would you want to go through, through that stress? When you can actually conveniently pick love. It's not a concept, and that's the way people need to understand. That's the way people need to view it. That it has nothing to do with Western concepts. It has nothing to do with, you know, strategy or, you know, or whether to gain popularity or a choice. It is not a choice. People don't pick a choice to be it. People be who they are. They express who they are. What we see is who they are. And the better thing for us to do is to accept, respect, and protect who they are. Because who we also are is who we are. And you know, it is on, there is nobody that would like to be illegal for who they are. So that's the kind of, you know, the kind of view that we need to use in looking at this.
Yes. So true, Lumide. People are who they are. Strongly noted that. Do you personally think that the LGBT community in Nigeria has been particularly silent, as in could the situation be described as a closeted activism? Please tell us.
I don't think LGBT, you know, people have been silent, and I don't think the community has been silent. I think that what has just been happening is we just need to continue to do more. We are already doing great stuff across the country. We just need to continue to do more. We need to put in so much, you know, to what we do already. I feel that even what we do is what is creating visibility for the conversation, and we need to continue. We need to show that the conversation continues to be on the burning table. We have to make sure that this is a priority issue, but strategically ensuring that we do it in a way that does not further create harm for people who do not have voice to speak for themselves. Because the whole idea of the work that we do is to be able to protect those who cannot speak for themselves. And if what we do is already becoming a harm for those who cannot speak, for those who stand for, then we need to look at our strategy all over again. So sometimes, you know, you may look at us if we are quiet or we're not doing so much. No, we're doing a lot of things, but we're just trying to make sure that what we do is kind of going into the right places at the right time. The strategy is right, and they are put into proper use. For everything we do at TIER, and it's the same across all organizations, everything has a target audience. Everything has a target audience. If you want to, you know, the kind of approach you do, you use to to engage with the larger Nigeria. It's different from the approach you say engage with the LGBT community.
Yes.
So having said, so all of us have their own different strategy and their approach,
yes,
you know, of engagement. So sometimes it might look like we're quiet, like I said, we're not quiet. And I don't think the movement has been quiet, the community has not been quiet, but like I said before, the community must also support the movement.
Yes.
Community is a support system for the movement.
And especially, yeah,
we need to
true.
Do more. For the movement to understand that they are not just dead, they are not a shadow of themselves. Because when you do something, you want to realize that there is people behind you to support you.
Yes.
And the movement support system is a community. And so that's why it's important for the community to know what the movement is doing, how they can be part of it, what they need to do, and how their visibility helps the work of the movement to be solid.
Thank you so much, Olumide. That is so, so true. Support. Yeah, you have to do something. Just do something, especially for people who've taken up the courage to stand and talk, you know, and be visible. You really have to take that into serious consideration and see how you can really help. Let me take a quick briefing now and then finally come back. I'm still going to be with Olumide. I'm going away. I'll be back.
You're listening to No Strings. Relax, unwind, take the tension off as you listen to my Damon here on No Strings. Visit www.nostringspodcast.wordpress.com.
At a time like this, when Nigeria faces an unnecessary fear, fear from the minority, fear from LGBTs, we need a voice. We need it heard, and we need to tell our stories, and yes, we need to tell it with no strings attached. Join Mike Damon every week.
You're listening to No Strings.
Hi, welcome back to No Strings and Nigeria's first LGBT podcast. And I am Mike Damon. We are still talking to Olumide Makunjuola, Executive Director of TS, which is pronounced in full as the Initiative for Equal Rights in Nigeria, of course. Now, let's quickly proceed to the next line of question. Olumide, if someone inquires to know if you are encouraging homosexuality in Nigeria, how will you respond to that? Please tell us.
I mean, I get asked this question all the time. You know, people ask, you know, are you encouraging homosexuality in Nigeria? I'm like, there is nothing to encourage. It's a different from encouraging. I encourage what I can create. I can't create people to be gay. It's, you know, there's nothing to encourage. What I'm encouraging is for people to be themselves, people to be who they are.
Yes.
People have to be expressive. You can't not keep people's expression. You cannot legislate
so
people's expression.
Mm.
There is no idea anywhere in the world where it is sensible to legislate or to criminalize on people's expression. And it's different from you thinking that, you know, it's like you saying that when you have telecommunication complaint, you know, and you say, oh, best way, you know, use Skype instead of, you know, doing it, you're encouraging, you know, communication, using technology. That's different. Homosexuality is not a tool. It's not some kind of gadget that you encourage people to use. We're talking about people, and I think that's one of the problems we had in the past, and we're still having. We keep forgetting that people who are, you know, who engage in same-sex relationship are human. They are not gadgets. They are not animal. Even animal has his own life. You know, homosexuals are not gadgets. They are not telephones. They are not condoms. They're not wool. They're not things that you can describe that, you know, to use to encourage. There is nothing to encourage them. People are wholly expressing what they have. Only thing that we encourage, you know, is let us respect the rights of other people to express themselves, to be who they are, to live in a just society like we all live, and, you know, to be able to feel comfortable with who they are, always, without no sense of stigma or no sense of discrimination for who they are. So I don't think there is any form of encouragement for people to be gay. You can't even be who you cannot even be who you're not.
Of course.
You can never be who you're not. And that's one thing we have to also realize, that, you know, who you are has always been who you are. There's nothing you can do about it. That's who you are. The faster you embrace, the better for you to begin to, you know, appreciate who you are. So it's, we don't encourage, you know, there's nothing to encourage there. Like I said, we encourage, what we encourage and what we stand for and what we continue to encourage is the right of people to be protected and promoted and to ensure that people have a space to express who they are every day, every time, anywhere.
So true, Olumide. Strongly noted now that there's nothing really to encourage. People has to be themselves. Now, here's like a cliche question I like to ask almost anyone who comes on the show. In overall, do you think there's hope for LGBT Nigerians?
Well, there is hope. I mean, if you always look at, you know, many decades ago, over a decade ago, I mean, this is not a very big conversation that we'll have. But, you know, we've seen how this conversation has moved in 2006, 2008, 11, and now there is hope. There is strong hope that one day, there will be hope for LGBT people in this country. LGBT rights will be respected. It will be seen as a brother human rights framework. It will be seen as something that is part of the brother human rights. That these are human. First, people are human before they become gay, or heterosexual, or lesbian, whatever. You know, title you usually want to give to people. Even though that's another problem in its own. But the reality is the fact that it will get to a point in this country where we realize that every human being, whether gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, heterosexual, what have you, everybody is human. And everybody deserves the right to be respected, to be protected, and to ensure equality across all levels, at workspace, within your neighborhood, at your family level, everybody deserves that. And we will see that we will get there. And I'm having that hope that it will be my lifetime. It's certainly going to be my lifetime. The lifetime of everybody who are putting, you know, so much work to ensure that, you know, what we do for the community is seen and is accepted. You know, I'm sure that it's going to be, there's that hope, and, you know, we'll get there. It's going to be a very rough journey. It's going to take us a very long time, but we'll get there. That hope is something I certainly strongly have.
Wow. Such a relief to actually feel the way I'm feeling right now. Let's move on to the next line of question, of course. What is your advice for a typical gay Nigerian?
Well, I don't think it won't be my advice for a typical gay man. I think my advice for, you know, anybody who is involved in same-sex relationship and, for transsexual persons, my advice for them is stay true to who you are.
Yeah.
Be who you are.
Yeah.
Believe in who you are, because you have to accept who you are before people can actually accept you. The most important in life is accept who you are. Embrace
who you are.
Every day, every minute, every week, anywhere, everywhere, celebrate who you are. Because if you don't celebrate you, nobody will do.
Nobody,
and if you don't appreciate who you are, people will continue to think even you yourself do not understand or know who you are. First of all, know who you are, celebrate it, appreciate it, and the rest is history. And most of us, stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
Stay out of trouble. Ensure that, you know, you do not get yourself involved in things that can put you into further risks, you know, to reduce the kind of, you know, risks that you probably will endure. I mean, we already live in the kind of society that is very, very, very hostile towards, you know, gay people, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people are. It's unfortunate that, you know, there's very little that we can do right now, but we'll continue to do the best that we can do to ensure that people have the freedom to express who they are every day.
Yeah, so true. So true, Olumide. Be careful. Whatever activity you're involved with, you should be really careful. Really careful. Cleverness, of course, is the watchword here. Now, lastly, Olumide, how can you be contacted or reached, and for what specific purposes? Please tell us, because I know some of my listeners may want to reach out to you for some reasons, so they'll need to hear this. So tell us.
Well, we can be contacted on our website, www.initiativeforequality.org. We can be contacted on Facebook, Initiative for Equal Rights, on Twitter, Tear at Nigeria, You know, and Vimo, here in Nigeria.
Okay.
If what's just go on Google, put initiative for equal rights, it will come up with our website, and then you can link us up in some of the social media and, you know, on other platforms that we currently, you know, talk about the work that we do. Okay. You can connect us for different purposes, you know. Are you in danger? Do you need, you know, legal support, legal representation? Do you need to speak to somebody? Do you need some, you know, HIV prevention, you know, counseling and education? Do you need to assess your, you know, medication? Well, any kind of service that has to do with sexual health, human rights, you know, doing capacity building, you know, in terms of enhancing your knowledge on the issue of LGBT people.
Okay.
All of these things are the things that we can provide for you. I'm sure once you get to the website, you'll see so much of how we can, you know, support. And like I said before, we're launching a website in 2017. On the website, you also see other great organizations across Nigeria who are doing great things. But you can also contact for different things. You don't need to come to Southwest. If you're in Northeast, if you're in North Southeast, there are organizations closer to you. The information will be available on the new website that we are launching on Sunday, the 17th of May. You can contact them. They can organize a community dialogue for you, educate you on human rights, educate you on how to protect yourself, how to ensure that you're safe from, you know, some every form of violation, and when you encounter such human rights violation, where you should call, when you can call, and all of that. And the top billion that we are launching on the 17th also, it's going to be available across Nigeria. Anybody can call. You know, it's free to call the toll-free line, except for the non-toll-free line. The non-toll-free line is charged at the local call rate, but the non-toll-free line are also available Monday to Sunday, 24 hours, 7 days a week. The toll-free line are also available for free.
Wow. So,
but you, I mean, by the time you go to our website on Sunday, you will see a video demo that we use, a video that we've used to release and that we're using releasing the toll-free line, you know, that talks about, you know, the kind of service that you can get on the toll-free line. So there's so much that you can get. You know, so much that we can do. And I'm really looking forward to this so much, you know, that we can see how much we can be more resourceful to the community, how well we can be, make more impact in the community. So go on the website, you know, on the Initiative for Equal website, and on Sunday the 17th of May, visit the video of willofisacrime.org, and then know about more other organizations on the website, and then how they can help you, and know about more what they do. You know, it's good. Well, thank you for having me here, Mark. It's been really a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate what you do. You know, you do such a very great initiative, and I hope that, you know, soon the world will hear this, you know. Thank you so much.
No, you, thank you so much for doing this with me. I'm so excited I was a part of this. So nice. Whereloveisacrime.org will be launching May 17th, Sunday, 2015. Yeah, you need to check it out, just in case if you're having issues. Olumide has said it all. Now, you can check in with my website, of course, www.nostringspodcast.wordpress.com, and subscribe so you can get notifications about subsequent episodes posted. Yeah, I'll also be a part of whereloveisacrime.org too. I'm looking forward to that. But for now, no comments. Also, you can as well reach me on Twitter if you want to join up with the conversation at nspodcast1. You can also email info@nostringspodcast.0face.us. Do have a wonderful week ahead of you. And of course, enjoy. I'll see you next week for another episode. Bye-bye. Until then.